For a few moments now, more follow-up on what's going on in the wheat market with the aforementioned lack of convergence between cash and futures prices, as Dan O'Brien spoke to earlier in the broadcast. Moreover, we'd like to take that one further and get into what all of this means for government payments for wheat production and crop insurance contracts. Art Barnaby is with us once again, risk management specialist, K-State Research and Extension. Art, briefly, though, your take on this convergence matter, and you really like to simplify this as best one can, you say.
The short answer is big crop, no storage, big crop, no storage. That's the first five answers is big crop.
And there's just no real indication that the crop's going to move, basically.
Yeah, the whole system's just plugged up right now. I'm being told by one terminal elevator, they're not moving anything by rail right now. The only thing they got moving out of that elevator, and we're talking about elevators with big silos, and they put in 3 million bushels of flat storage on the ground. It's covered, but it's still flat storage. They're moving it by truck to the Port of Tulsa. It takes a lot of trucks to fill a barge. I mean, until we start moving stuff by rail, it's going to take a long time to move that size of crop out of these terminal elevators. And then it's backed up to the farm's local elevator and on farm storage. It just goes on and on. As it turns out, this affects crop insurance payments and the commodity program.
And you are tracking that on Ag Manager.
We're tracking that price on Ag Manager. Let me take care of the crop insurance first because that's really simple. Crop insurance is paid based on the futures price. And so if you don't get convergence, then the futures price doesn't fall as far as it should. That makes the payment smaller than it otherwise would be. However, this year we got really big yields, so I don't think there would be many claims under crop insurance even if we had convergence. But what about 2017? If we get back to smaller or maybe some farmers will have below average yields in some counties, now if you don't get convergence, then they are going to get underpaid for their claims. Now the upside or the bright side, if you want to look at it, is right now July 2017 hard red winter wheat is trading at 470 roughly. That's a long ways from $3. What that means is you may not get as much protection as you thought you were buying from the price side, but if you do have a yield loss, you'd get paid 470 for each bushel. Oh, hope it hails, hope it hails.
Right.
Anyway, so that was the easier. Now, moving over to the marketing year average price, we post those price estimates every month on Ag Manager, and I have the first estimate up on wheat, and right now I've got a price that at least a couple of farmers have written me and said, you don't know what you're doing. You should retire because you're way too high. And I think they might probably right. At this point, they're questioning the July number. I've got it 405. The NAS price is 420, and that's the only real number in that average. So wait 3 months, and we will get you a much better answer for where that marketing year average price is going to be that determines whether or not you're going to get payments. Okay? So my model is being driven off of Chicago wheat. That's what drives my model when I estimate these prices. Right now, Chicago wheat's trading at a premium to Kansas City wheat. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. And in fact, farmers might want to consider selling Chicago wheat rather than Kansas City wheat if they're going to hedge their crop, because if it does revert back to normal, you gain whether you go up or goes down. If it goes down, you're going to get a bigger payment over in your futures account. If it goes up, you'll have smaller margin calls if those markets flip back to normal. Basically, you're trading a spread if you want to get right to the bottom line. Anyway, where we're at. So I said, okay, 405 is probably too high. So in my analysis, I dropped it back to USDA's number, which is at 380. Well, 380 is still a long ways from $3. So what the PLC, that's the easiest one to understand, it pays the difference between 550 and the higher of the loan rate, which is 294 for wheat nationally, or the marketing year average price. And that marketing year average price right now is about 80 cents to a dollar higher than you'd think it would be relative to what you're getting for cash. It's an average. Mm-hmm. That means some places have higher prices and some places have lower prices. So that's the situation we find ourselves in. It's all due to big crop, no storage, right back to the same old song. That's what's driving all this. Because of this weakened basis, your PLC is not going to cover that basis loss. And unlike futures, there is no expectation that the national average price is going to converge to the cash price because it is the national average price of all cash prices. So it's just another hole in the safety net that I don't think most people have realized were there. And it isn't something we've talked about because we haven't been dealing with LDPs. I might add that we continually update our LDP payment every day, and that Risk and Profits Conference is coming up. Again, we're going to cover this. Come and sort through all this. Dan is going to cover more on what this doing the hedging and other things. This affects the government payments. All those issues are going to be covered.
Again, that's going to be one of the featured topics at Risk and Profit Conference next Thursday and Friday here on the Kansas State campus. So if you haven't checked out that program, we've been talking it up frequently here. You can find out all the details at agmanager.info. And it's going to be fodder for discussion for a while, it sounds. Art, thanks for bringing us the latest on this. He's Art Barnaby, Risk Management Specialist with K-State Research and Extension, on what this lack of convergence in wheat prices, futures to cash, means in particular to crop insurance coverage and to the potential for farm program payments to you wheat producers. Finishing out this segment, this week's Kansas Wheat Scoop. Here's Jordan Hildebrand.
Kansas Wheat is proud to announce the winners of the 7th Annual Wheat Yield Contest. The 2016 contest is the most competitive in Kansas Wheat's history, with a record number of entries, as well as 11 entries that broke the 100 bushel an acre ceiling. This year's top wheat yields belong to Spencer West of Leroy, our Eastern Region winner, Doug Keyes of Plainville, our Central Region winner, and Alec Horton of Leota, our Western Region winner. West's winning plot of 16.83 acres planted with Westbred's Red Hawk resulted in a yield of 87.46 bushels an acre. Keyes' plot was 8.25 acres planted with Syngenta's S.Y. Wolf. Keyes' prize-winning yield was 109.38 bushels an acre. His hefty 109.38 bushels an acre is now the highest central region yield in contest history. Horton planted his 7.82 acre plot with Joe, a white wheat variety from the Kansas Wheat Alliance. His plot smashed the record books with a yield of 121.48 bushels an acre, a Kansas Wheat Yield Contest record. The previous yield record was achieved last year by Darren Nelson of Hutchinson, who recorded a 108.48 bushel per acre entry. Winners of the contest will receive a $1,000 prize that will be awarded on September 17th at the Kansas State Fair. Each winner will also receive a $500 prize awarded by the company whose variety they planted. For Kansas Wheat, this is Jordan Hildebrand.